check with your...
Call to order this hearing of the House Rules Committee. It's Wednesday, April 6th, 2011. Sorry, a few minutes late getting started. We had another committee in before us that ran long into our time. We're going to change the order a little bit today. We're going to take, first of all, the bill that's listed last, House Bill 2257. There are some questions that have come up around the fiscal impact of that. So even though we have had that scheduled for a work session today, I've talked to Co-Chair Olson, and we're going to take House Bill 2257 and carry that over to our agenda on Monday. So we'll not be doing that today, but we will be taking up the others. And since we've got two members of the audience, let's begin with opening a public hearing on HCR 22.
Mr. Chairman, HCR 22 memorializes the life of Alan Harry Boyce, 1926 to 2010.
Representative Garrard, Representative Krieger, welcome. You can begin in whichever order you prefer.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm Bill Garrard, House District 56. Wayne and I flipped a coin as to who would go first. I lost, so I'm going first. This is HCR 22 in regards to Alan Boyce. You may not have heard of Alan Boyce, but in 1987, James Quinn wrote a novel called The River Rogue Sheriff. It's a copy of the book, which is actually been quite a good seller in southwestern Oregon. It's the story of Alan Boyce, who was a controversial sheriff of Curry County. He was not controversial in his routine carrying out of the law in Curry County. What made him controversial was the manner in which he did it. He did not feel bound by convention. He had little regard for judges, psychiatrists, and social workers, or the drug culture. So in his tenure as sheriff, he had a tendency to run into problems with those groups. His resume moves from working with Lloyd Bridges on his 1950s television series to what is called the Wild Pistol River shooting incident, which in essence ended his career and winding up in a $12 million lawsuit. Alan Boyce did things differently. He was sheriff for over 10 years, and he was loved by the people of Curry County. He's one of those kind of unforgettable characters that Reader's Digest used to write about quite a bit. He is a part of Oregon history, and I feel that he needs to be remembered. I never met Alan Boyce, but his son, Court, is my legislative assistant. The first day that Court worked for me, he went over to the bank at noon and chased down an armed bank robber. So whatever Alan Boyce had, Court's, it must run in the family a little bit as far as going after the bad guys. We appreciate your support of House Concurrent Resolution 22. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Krieger.
Co-Chair Hunt, for the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, State Representative, District 1. I'll be very brief. Representative Garrard has covered a lot. I first went to Curry County in early May of 1964 looking for housing because I was going to be hired by the state police June 1 of 64. And at that time, there were 11 mills in Curry County, hundreds of loggers, and it was almost impossible to find housing. We spent 4 days there and finally found a cabin, is what it really amounted to. With three kids in a cabin, didn't make my wife too happy. But I walked into the Curry County courthouse, and the sheriff was lodged in there as far as that's where his office was. And he was chief deputy at the time, Alan was. And he always had a white pipe. Most of the time it wasn't lit, but he always had it in his mouth or was trying to keep it lit. And he wanted to know if we could help us, and I introduced myself to who I was, and he put out his hand and he shook my hand. Well, the first thing I noticed that his wrist was bigger than my forearm, so I knew this guy was pretty formidable. And over the next 28 years, many of those years he was either chief deputy or he was the actually sheriff of the county, I had dealings with him, and the marijuana days on the coast there, I don't know how many times we went out together and picked literally dump trucks load of marijuana and brought it in. We'll talk about a little bit that more in the memorial. One of the things that Representative Garrard just talked about is how he did things different. And I would have to agree that maybe he was on the edge as far as might be legal, but we didn't have any of those times, what was known as the hippies coming up out of California and through Curry County. They learned to go on 99 over to Cave Junction around that way because the word got back that if you were picked up, and they all had long hair in those days, he shaved their heads. He loused. He had the barber come in, and he did it for sanitation reasons, health reasons. But the word got out. Just that one act prevented probably half of the drug crime and other type things that were going on in the adjacent county from happening in Curry County simply because of his reputation. He was rough and rowdy, but he was an honest man. He loved his family. He loved his community. And I think one thing, he was one of, I believe, the 11th of 12 children in that family, all from the Langlois area, north of Port Orford and north of Gold Beach. Yeah. But I hope that you will support HCR 22, where we can talk a little bit more about him.
Great. Thank you. Questions? Representative Barnhart.
I would simply note, Mr. Chair, that I have grown fond of this gentleman already because of the remarks made by Representative Garrard about how he was not didn't like psychiatrists. As a psychologist, I certainly can understand that sentiment. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Barnhart, I said that with great caution, I might mention.
Representative Berger.
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't know Alan Boyce. I have heard of him, but I know his son because he's in the office next to me, and a more gracious gentleman never walked the earth. Understated, polite beyond all measure, and really knowledgeable about a whole bunch of things, but never, you just have to ask him. He knows incredible, vast amounts of things, and I can imagine his father was like him.
Seeing no other questions, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Anyone else like to testify on this bill? Close the public hearing on HCR 22 and open a work session on HCR 22. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move CR 22 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Representative Berger moves HCR 22 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair, having had my head shaved in 19... No.
It's grown out pretty well, Mr. Holvey.
At least yours grew back, Representative Holvey.
Mr. Chair, you can see that for some of us, the growing back did not happen.
That's correct.
Not that big a deal for some of us.
Amy, will you please call the roll?
Representative Freeman?
Yes.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Hunt?
Aye.
And Co-Chair Olson is excused. Motion carries, and do you want to co-carry it, or Representative Krieger will carry? Okay.
Who do we want to go first if they're going to co-carry?
So you want to co-carry, Krieger. And we'll have Representative Krieger first. How about that?
That's great.
Okay. It's a plan. Thank you both. Close the work session on HCR 22 and open a public hearing on HR 2. Mr. Stembridge? Sorry, I didn't tell you which order I was going in. Trying to keep you on your toes.
I could have guessed. Mr. Chairman, HR 2 proposes an Oregonian-Turkish Friendship Task Force to further and build upon friendship and economic relationship between the state of Oregon and the Republic of Turkey.
And Representative Freeman, someone must love you because I have never seen a color copy of an SMS in 9 years in the legislature. Representative Freeman, proceed.
Great. Thank you, Co-Chair Hunt. And I think everybody loves friendship, and that's what this this is all about. It's about the idea of trying to figure out a way for cultures and countries to learn more about each other and become more successful because of that. Many of you know that I was lucky enough to attend a cultural trip with a delegation to Turkey this last year and met some of the most wonderful people that I've ever met. And this resolution would allow that beginning of a friendship to foster and become something that I think many of the people in Oregon and many of the legislators could benefit from. It's a pretty simple resolution. It includes words like friendship and fostering peace and caring of each other. So I think that it's one of those things we can feel very good about, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Representative Freeman? Representative Berger.
Yeah, Representative, how long were you in Turkey, and how did you get involved in this? Just curious.
Representative Hunt, Representative Berger, I was gone for 13 days. It's kind of funny how the old clock works when you're traveling that far. I was actually in Turkey for a little over 11 days. Last session, there was a group of folks from the Rose Garden, Turkey Cultural, I won't get their word, their name just right, came and visited the capital, and they made appointments with, they tried to make appointments with most of the legislators, and for whatever reason, we had a wonderful conversation, and at the end of the conversation, they asked if I would consider allowing them to nominate me for this trip, and I said yes. Realizing right off that when you think of world travel and culture, my name would come to the top of the list.
Absolutely.
So in fact, I had a great visit with them and went on with the session. Several months later, they called and said that I had been nominated and would I still consider going. And at that point, things got a little more serious, and I had to check with the ethics folks and legislative leadership and all those people involved to make sure it was appropriate that I went. And I went through all that, and in fact, it was. So I said, yeah, continue my name in the process. So finally, another couple months went by, and they sent an email back, said I was selected. So then it really was serious. I needed to tell my wife that I was going to be gone for a few weeks and traveling without her, which was the hardest challenge of all. But it was an incredible trip. This organization, the broader organization they're involved with, does hundreds of these trips a year. It is clearly the most well-coordinated trip I'd ever been on. We flew within the country to several cities and visited places that I've only read about, and got to spend the day at their parliament and visit with some of their elected officials, and it was really an incredible trip.
Sounds fascinating.
I know Ron Burson is very excited to hear that you call the ethics office before you check in with your wife on things. Priority order. Any other questions for Representative Freeman? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Great, thank you. And I would want to comment that Representative Bailey was kind enough to chief co-sponsor this with me. And there's lots of folks from both sides of the aisle involved in this. So thank you.
Would anyone else like to testify on this resolution? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on H.R. 2 and open a work session on H.R. 2.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Berger.
I move H.R. 2 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Representative Berger moves H.R. 2 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Amy, please call the roll.
Representative Barrett.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Aye.
Co-Chair Hunt?
Aye. Representative Olson is excused. Motion carries. And Representative Freeman, will you carry on the floor?
Please.
Great. Close the work session on H.R. 2 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3505.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 3505, it adds admission to a retail store for purchase of discounted merchandise to the exceptions to gift prohibited by the government ethics laws. You have the Dash 1 amendment, which changes the wording of the exemption to allow access to a business organized for the sole purpose of selling products at discount prices. I can provide a little bit of background if you would like me to.
Great. And does anyone not have the Dash 1 amendments? Yeah, they should have been in front of you when you arrived. Yeah, you want to give a little further
Mr.
background?
Chairman, this bill arises out of a staff advisory opinion issued by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission where there is a situation where there's an employee-only store that gives access to discounted merchandise if a public officer is given access to that store without being an employee of the business. There is some concern that there may be a conflict with the ethics laws. So this bill was written to address that concern.
Okay. And I know there were a couple of business associations that were planning to come and testify that we did get word this afternoon that they had conflicts and were not able to come and testify. But we do have Mr. Burson to come and illuminate us from the Ethics Commission's perspective on this. Do you check in with Representative Freeman before you make any tough decisions in life, since he checks in with you first?
I check in with the commission before I tell my wife stuff, too. We have a lot in common.
Welcome back to the Rules Committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
As Mr. Stanbridge had talked about, I believe I wasn't...
Ron, can you just introduce yourself for the record?
My name is Ron Burson. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. And I was not part of this bill, but I was part of the advisory opinion that the commission adopted back in February concerning this discount program. And essentially what the advisory opinion said was is that every public official was able to take advantage of this program out there, except for the folks that actually made a decision to belong to the National League of Cities, which is the group that sponsors the program. So it basically went back to the heart of legislative administrative interest and the changes that were made in 2009 around decision or vote. And so essentially in a city there may be very few people that actually make the decision to pay the dues of the National League of Cities. And so that's essentially what the program or what the advisory opinion said. So, unless you're the decision maker that decides to pay the League of Cities, and I think that we had a dues range in there from like the City of Sandy pays $1,117 to the City of Portland pays $23,621 to be a member of the National League of Cities. Unless you were that person that decided to spend that money, you would be afforded this opportunity to join this discount program.
Let's have the committee stand at ease for just a moment.
I want to talk with Mr. Burson.
So we're at ease, and we're off the record, right, Amy?